Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And today in our class, we're going to be studying more about how Saul became a Christian. We're looking at the text in Acts chapter 9. And let me read to you Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. It says, "But Saul, yet breathing, threatening, and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and asked of him letters to Damascus, unto the synagogues, that he found any that were of that way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, it came to pass that he drew nigh unto Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light out of heaven, and he fell upon the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Well, we'll begin there in just a moment, consulting Elam's notes. He wrote a Sunday school lesson on this for the Sunday schools of May 17th, 1925. But before we turn to Elam's notes, I want to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. It was on that road to Damascus where Saul heard the voice. The Lord spoke to him in plain words which could not be misunderstood. Those with him heard the sound of this voice in verse 7, but they did not understand the words which were spoken, Acts 22:9. We frequently say we do not hear a person when we hear his voice, but do not understand his words. And the voice said, "Why persecutest thou me?" To persecute his disciples was to persecute Jesus. If Saul strikes the disciples in Damascus, Christ feels the blow in heaven. And as we now treat the humblest and poorest of his disciples, so we treat him. That's what Jesus taught in Matthew 25:34-46. "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Saul recognized that it was God speaking, but he did not know in what person he had appeared, and he asked, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest," Acts 22:8. And he said, "I am the Christ," or "I am the Messiah." Saul might not have been so readily seen that he was Jesus of Nazareth, for the Jews expected the Messiah. But when he said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth," Saul at once saw that the despised Nazarene was divine. Before this time, he thought he was persecuting an impostor and serving God in so doing. At once, he understood that in persecuting the disciples of Jesus, he was persecuting the Lord. "It is hard for thee to kick against the goad." Now those words are omitted in the American Standard Version, but they're still found in Acts 26:14. Goads were used to prick oxen and urge them along, and when they kicked against these, they hurt themselves the more. So Saul was hurting himself the more by persecuting Jesus. Now, why did Jesus appear to Paul? Jesus appeared to Paul for the following purpose: "But arise and stand on thy feet, for this end have I appeared unto thee, to appoint thee a minister and a witness both of the things wherein thou hast seen me and of the things wherein I will appear unto thee," Acts 26:16. An apostle must be an eyewitness. Paul could have become a Christian without seeing Jesus, but he could not have become a witness. Paul uses this as evidence of his apostleship in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 1 and 2, when he talks about how he had seen the Lord. And then Paul asks what could be called the greatest of all questions. We read in Acts chapter 9 and verse 6, Acts chapter 9 and verse 5, when he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest, but rise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." The question was, as recorded in Acts 22 and verse 10, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" It's omitted here in this version, but it is found in Acts 22:10. And the answer to this question, the Lord said, "Rise and enter into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. All things which are appointed unto them to do," Acts 22:10. God appointed these things, and they must be done. They cannot now be treated in a light manner. Why did not Jesus tell him then and there, "Preaching the gospel and telling people what to do to be saved has been committed unto the Lord's ambassadors," 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. And since his ascension in the announcement of the Great Commission, Jesus never told one directly what to do to be saved, but always sent into a preacher of the gospel the cases of the eunuch and Cornelius, as well as this one, are illustrations of this. We read now in verses 7 through 10 of Acts 9 that the men that journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing the voice and beholding no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. And they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and did neither eat nor drink. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said unto him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Behold, here I am." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go to the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one named Saul, a man of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth." Now, the question, what would I have me to do? Let me find my place here. Here it is. In Elam's notes, those who accompanied Saul must have been soldiers or guards who would assist in arresting Christians and conducting them bound to Jerusalem. They saw the light, but not the Lord, and did not understand the words. They stood speechless. They were so much affected as was Saul. They were not so much affected as was Saul, but arose before, as before he did. And Saul arose from the ground. He unclosed his eyelids, which he had closed to protect his eyes from the intense light, and discovered that he was blind and must be led by others. He was anxious and deeply concerned that he neither ate nor drank for 3 days. This period was spent in sorrow and constant prayer. During this time, he saw the vision of verse 12, Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. Let me read verses 10 through 12 of Acts chapter 9. "Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said unto him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one named Saul, a man of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen a man named Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him, that he might receive sight." This Ananias dwelt in Damascus. He was devout according to the law, well reported of by all the Jews that dwelt there, Acts 22:12. He had become a Christian. The Lord appeared unto him in a vision and commanded him to go to Saul, stating that he was on Straight Street, in the house of Judas, as evidence of Saul's sincerity and earnestness. The Lord said, "For behold, he prayeth." The street ran directly through the city from gate to gate, east and west, and was originally 100 feet broad. Saul's terrible record and the news that he had come to Damascus with letters of authority to bind all who called upon the name of the Lord Jesus caused Ananias to fear, verses 13 and 14, and the news of Saul's mission had preceded him. But the Lord removed these fears by his declaration in verses 15 and 16 that he was a chosen vessel to bear his name to the Gentiles. Well, the question is answered. Let me read Acts 9, 17 and 18. Ananias departed and entered into the house, and laying his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, who appeared to thee in the way which thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And straightway there fell from his eyes, as it were, scales, and he received his sight, and arose, and was baptized. Ananias went, and laying his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, even Jesus, who appeared in thee in the way which thou camest, has sent me, that thou mayest receive thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And straightway there fell from his eyes, as it were, scales, and he received sight, and he arose, and was baptized. And he said, "The God of our fathers hath appointed thee to know his will, and to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For thou shalt be a witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on his name." Acts 22:14-16. Jesus appeared to Saul to qualify him as an apostle. But he must learn what to do to be saved from a human being and become a Christian just as other people, even as we do now. He must believe in the Lord, which he did, and his faith came by hearing the word of the Lord, Romans 10:17, as our lesson shows, for he never believed in Jesus as the Christ until Jesus in plain language denounced who he was. He must repent of his sins, which he did, as his fasting and praying for 3 days show, and he must arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22 and verse 16. Paul's sins were not forgiven when he first saw that light, for he knew not then who addressed him. They were not forgiven when he readily believed the statement that it was Jesus who spoke to him. For he went blind into Damascus, and there remained fasting and praying until Ananias reached him and told him what he, quote, "must do," unquote. When Ananias told him to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, he at once did so and was comforted, and then took food and was strengthened, verse 19. That he must arise and be baptized showed that he must go to the water to be baptized, and not that water was brought to him. Baptism is a washing, Titus 3 and verse 5 and Hebrews 10:22. And inasmuch as God forgives the sins of those who in faith and penitence are baptized in the name of Jesus, they are said to wash away their sins. Paul must receive the same instruction and must do the same things which those on Pentecost did for the remission of sins. No vision or miracle in Paul's case released him from obedience to the will of God. These miracles served their purpose, as we have seen, but aside from these, Paul must hear the word of the Lord, believe in Jesus, repent of all his sins, and arise and be baptized, and wash away his sins, calling on his name. Calling on his name is the same as being baptized in the name of Christ in Acts 2:38, and it means that while one is baptized in obedience to God, he does so calling on the Lord and looking to Jesus for pardon and salvation. Thus, Jesus saves. We'll continue in our next class.